You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Steve Phillips later in the hour, Graham Dillette in a few minutes, Tiger Woods, 8 over par through 14, may shoot 80 today, and is most certainly going to miss the cut. So we'll catch up with Graham and get his take on day two of the U.S. Open. I was driving around earlier today, and I heard the tap man in Kristen Shilton,
yes.
Little yes guy, no guy, just after 1 o'clock.
I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of yes guy, no guy, and
we gotta bring our segment back. We gi, non gi.
What yes. were some of the items on yes guy, no guy?
Well, it was largely Leaf related. The one of the yes guy, no guys was, will Freddie Anderson start game one of next season as a Maple Leaf?
I bet you Kristen said yes guy.
They both said yes guy. Yeah, they were both committed to a yes guy. And yeah.
I would have said yes guy.
Yeah,
I am creeping towards a no guy. I'm not a full
really?
Commitment on that. I think there's a lot of smoke there, and he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's got a deal that is very advantageous the way it's built. It's a $5 million cap hit, $1 million real cash.
Right.
Like, there's some teams out there that are going to love hearing that. Right, like owners that are basically saying, you know, we got to get to the floor, but I'm not spending money. So you might be able to trade him and get pieces back. And clearly you have to have a goaltender plan in place. I mean, that goes
right.
without saying.
Kidding.
You right. know, but it's I could see a scenario where they have something set up. And as they have that sitting on the table, they work on something with Freddie. And I don't know who that guy is. I don't know if it's a free agent. If it's via trade, you know, Noodles, you've been saying
right.
this for a while. There's a lot of goalies available or potentially available.
There is.
And
there is.
Change know. For the sake of change, I would not be shocked at all.
But, it has to be, and Kyle will know this, but it has to make sense. Like, change for the sake of change, I get that. But you still have to make the playoffs. You still have to
yeah.
have a back, you know, like a tandem. You still have to, like, if you think that Jack Campbell, I get worried that people think Jack Campbell can give you 40 games. I think he's more of a 25 to 30 guy. Like, can he give you 40? Absolutely. But what does that quality look like?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really worried here in the offseason that Hudobin has a really nice stretch here, and then some manager thinks that he's a starter. Well, if he played this well, he can give us 50 games like that. And then what happens? You come back down to earth. Like, people thought Scott Darling was going to be a starter. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, that happens. Like,
well, yes, exactly. And that, I'm not suggesting that that should be the case. I guess what I'm saying, and this is just simply a hypothetical, let's say you can work out a deal with Braden Holtby.
Right.
You know, he's a free agent. Let's say you can get him.
Yep.
And they look at it and say, Holtby, Freddie, similar age. You know, similar track records in terms of the amount of games they've played. Holtby's
Correct.
Had more success.
Yep.
But that would be a change for the sake of change. Now, you could make the argument Holtby's better, maybe Anderson. It depends on, you know, I'd leave that to you, Noodles, and others
right.
that might know a little bit more about the techniques and the styles and what's left in the gas tank for both guys. But that would not be we're bringing in, you know, two backups
right.
and we're going to roll the dice here. That would
no,
be change for the sake of change, but I think equivalent goaltending, potentially better goaltending at the biggest moments later in the year, and you move on from Freddie, and you bring back some assets in doing so, because I think his contract is one that is very tradable. It's not like you're
right.
going to get massive assets back, but you can get something for him.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be shocked if that was the philosophy, and it's one that I could wrap my head around.
You're right. I'm a Holtby guy. I think he's fantastic. I think he's had a couple bumps in the road, but I still think there's lots of game left. So we'll see how that unfolds. But, you know, Kyle's got his work cut out for him here in the offseason, because it's not just dealing with the position that, you know, is stable. Like, to be honest, Frederik Andersen and Jack Campbell, that's a stable position.
Yep, that's a good point.
You know, like, you got to look at other things, facets of your team.
Sure. And there are a couple more yes guy, no guys that we may look into a little later in the hour.
Nice.
The Golf Insider brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Fall back into adventure at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Find your award-winning Subaru well-equipped for all seasons and enjoy rates from as low as 0.5%. Here is pro golfer, PGA Tour, TSN, U.S. Open analyst, Graham Dillette joining us. What's happening, Graham?
Hey, fellas. What's happening? How are you?
Well, we're praying for
a chop fest.
Yeah, like, this looks incredibly difficult, not shockingly. But what are you seeing out of Wingfoot today?
Well, it's starting to show its teeth a little bit more, obviously, with a little bit of wind and kind of some colder weather. I think everyone was a little bit shocked yesterday, or surprised anyways, to see such soft greens, and the greens firmed up just a little bit. They still don't have that kind of U.S. Open fire in them quite yet, but I think we can fully expect to see that on the weekend, and I still think that over par is definitely going to win this golf tournament.
You think the draw would have been a big factor here, Graham? It's like guys that played early this morning, they couldn't wait to get off that golf course and say, have fun today, fellas.
You know, it's funny, man, as I was actually thinking kind of almost the opposite about that. If you're the guy who wakes up in the morning, turns on the TV, and you're watching this, and you're just like, oh, boy. There's almost like a little bit of, like, nerves when you're sitting in your hotel room or your rental house, and you've got 4 hours to kind of sit around. You're like, maybe I shouldn't even watch this. But you kind of want to, because you want to see how it's playing. But, you know, it's got to hurt the confidence. And then when you get out there, you see some of the best players. I mean, like, even Justin Thomas today, just couldn't get the ball in the fairway. And you miss a couple fairways, you start guiding it a little bit, and then it starts to snowball on you so fast. And, I mean, he kind of pulled it together, and I think he finished one under total, so four over today. And he's probably happy now. Like, I mean, I obviously don't think he was super thrilled with his round, but he's got to be happy with his position anyways. It's going to be crazy this weekend.
I'll give these guys credit, Graham. When they miss fairways, it's not like they scale back that much. It's like they'll keep grabbing the three wood, they'll keep grabbing the driver, where you would think these guys hit three irons 240 yards. They just, if I'm the caddy, aren't you saying, like, just get something out there in the fairway? But they just keep grabbing the lumber and smashing away at it.
Yeah, it's like you always want to try to get it as far as you can type of thing. And, you know, I was talking to Julian, my old caddy. He's working for Adam Long here this week. And he's like, you know, it's about one in five. So 20% of the time you can get some pretty good club on the ball. And I think sometimes you look at it and you're like, I think I can maybe get a little bit more. And those are the ones that usually cost you. But however, you also don't want to you don't want to leave it like 60 yards. That kind of weird window where you can't really get any good spin on the golf ball.
Yeah.
You're better off trying to, like, chop something. If it comes out high, you can maybe chase to the front edge. And if it comes out dead, well, then you got maybe that 100-yard shot and you can hit something fall into the green. But, you know, all that is so much easier said than done when you're in the moment. It's a little bit different because you always think that you can pull most off. But you look at a guy like Phil, and I think that's why he's never really – I wouldn't say he's never had success, but he's never won there. And it's because he plays kind of that balls to the wall type golf all the time. And that's not, it's more of a patient type of game to win the U.S. Open. And he, you know, he likes to bomb it or whatever. And he likes to play aggressively. And, I think you just see it in him. I don't think he likes that golf tournament very much. And I think he was probably as happy as anyone to be leaving.
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at it, Mickelson's 13 over, he's done. And right beneath him on the leaderboard is Tiger at 12 over. And Tiger's
12?
Still out there through 15. He is now 12 over. He is 9 over on the day.
Wow.
He looks like he's going to shoot 80. And, we finished the show yesterday, Graham, and I thought he played okay yesterday. You know, he made some unforced errors, but I thought he played pretty well. And I'm like, okay, if he doubles down on that, he'll make the cut and he'll be fine. And it either carried over or the conditions got to him or his game fell apart. But Tiger is a mess on day two. And I guess we can't be that surprised.
You know, and it's like that finish yesterday, I think he went three over in his last two. Obviously, you know, that burns pretty much all night when you're having your meal and maybe that beer before you hit the bed. And then like I said, you wake up in the morning, you see how tough the golf course is, and that makes it even hurt anymore. Like, man, if I'd have just parred those last two, I'd be even par. I might, you know, be in sixth, seventh place by the time I tee off. And all of a sudden now he's three over, and you start, like I said, you just get off to a little bit of a bad start, and you start steering it around out there. And it's obviously, he's not the Tiger of old. That we all kind of know that. We all want to see just that short little glimpse, even if it is, and, you know, in a major or whatever. But the fact that he, you know, it's the similar kind of to me. Like, I feel like I can't put in the work that I used to. You're not playing full time really anymore, and you don't really know exactly what to expect, and you're not in the mix as much anymore. So, like, when he used to get in these majors, it was like he was salivating. He knew that he was the best. He knew that he was going to win every single time. You could just see the confidence, and you know, you just watch him walk down the fairways, and he just looks like a different player now. Just from like just his aura, he used to just kind of glow, and now he just kind of, he's like mixed in with the rest of the guys type of thing.
Do you see a setup tomorrow where there might be some more birdies available, or the USGA doesn't really care about the quality of, you know, production on television? They want to see guys grind all 4 days. Or do they have a softy day, or is it just watch this, fellas, watch out?
I think yesterday was a softy day, and you know, the one of the other things that some of the guys told me were there is, you know, they wanted to get guys done Thursday and Friday with, you know, having this tournament in September, the days being so much shorter. They think that that's one of the reasons why they set it up kind of so easy. I guess like yesterday they said the pins were really easy, a lot softer conditions than normal, because they want to get everyone in here before Friday night so they can play twosomes on the weekend and really kind of show it. But you know, yesterday you saw so many balls that kind of track in, almost like Augusta-like, where to, like, kick in birdies, and there's a lot of hole outs and that kind of thing. And that can still be done on firm greens, but the precision has to be so much more. But the soft greens, you can kind of use those slopes a lot more. And, I mean, one day of not watering, I don't know if they have sub-air there. They turn a little sub-air on, and this could get wild here on the weekend.
With Graham Dillette, PGA Tour player and our U.S. Open analyst here with TSN all weekend. When you look at the top of the leaderboard, it's naturally got some very compelling names. You know, Patrick Reed has played really well through 36. Thomas is up there. And then you got guys like, you know, John Rahm and Dustin Johnson who are a little bit behind, but they're still there. You know, Johnson put himself back into the tournament today. And Rahm, I think, was one or two over, but he's still right there. And if you add Thomas to it, if JT can stick around, those are the three best players in the world right now. And if they're all in the top 10 going into the weekend, you got to think from a handicapping perspective, one of those three will be in a race for the U.S. Open come Sunday night.
Yeah, I would think that that's fair to say. And even yesterday after DJ, you know, what did he shoot yesterday? Maybe three over, which seems so bad, but I mean, that was, it was ahead of the median score. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, for him, maybe, but you know, a good bet yesterday would have been to take DJ to win. Like, I mean, what, he's eight back with three rounds to play on the hardest golf course, and on courses like the U.S. Open, the cream pretty much always rises to the top. It's pretty rare that you have like a fluke winner, you know, in the U.S. Open. Like Michael Campbell, I remember from years back, he was still a hell of a player, but other than that, it seems like there's always big time players that are winning this golf tournament, and I don't think it's going to be any different here this year. At least, you know, there's going to be some big guys in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, you got to believe it. Well, we'll see where it goes this weekend. It's going to be fun. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy the coverage, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas, have a good one.
Graham
Thanks,
Dillette,
Graham.
Joining us here on Overdrive. Yeah, so as it currently stands at the U.S. Open, DeChambeau is at 3-under, and he wrapped up early this morning. He went out, I think, around 7:30 or something, and was 2-under today, and he's sitting there atop the leaderboard, and Patrick Reed is at 3-under. And
that DeChambeau hit a mambo drive. There was check the how long number 9 is. I think it's a par 5. He hit a driver in a 9-iron, dude.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous how far he can hit the ball, and he's fairly accurate with that.
Yeah, I think he told himself, you can go ahead and start bombing it around this, but if you're not going to keep it straight, you might as well just pack your lunch.
Well, exactly. That's why I didn't trust him this weekend. I just figured he'd be in every tree and he'd be in the rough. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're hitting a wedge or a 7-iron out of that rough, man. It's buried. It's not going anywhere. He's not going to hold on that green.
Is Reed the guy who likes to cheat a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if he's fluffing.
Yeah.
Think he fluffs?
Oh,
he's right in contention. He's got as good of a chance as anyone to win this.
Do you think he had a combo with his caddy? Look, no fans. Let's fluff.
No, you know that people is eagle-eyeing that guy. Like, didn't they? You guys have told me this before. There used to be a number where people could just call in, right?
Yeah. Just slobs on their couch. Slobs half in the bag ever. On their couch could call in and say that guy cheated.
I love it.
I still think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever. Could you
but
imagine
who the hell,
that?
Brian? Like, who is Joe Blow that's drunk on his couch? Who is he getting a hold of?
Like, well, that's what I never understood. Like, where is
neither.
The call center? You know, is the call center even in this hemisphere, or is it halfway around the world?
Yeah. There was no social media.
No, I know.
I don't know.
Who were they calling is what I want to know.
I just think it's hilarious. Could you imagine, like, in hockey, you could have a call line if a guy missed a call. Like, that right. I was tripping behind the play. You'd have Joe from the bridge calling that line off the hook.
Now with social media, you're dusted, man. Like, there was a situation, I think it happened this year, with John Rahm at the Memorial. It was either the week before or the Memorial.
No, it was the Memorial. He won it, and he chipped in. I know what you're talking about.
On 16, apparently people thought that his ball, which I thought it just oscillated, it didn't really move, but people were like, ball moved here, and they just zoomed right in on Twitter, and it's like, people are, just be quiet.
But they were talking about it with the telecast the whole rest of the round. I mean, there was only two more holes, but it was
he had a big lead.
He did, so it got lucky that he won it, even if they did give him a penalty, I think.
You're right. They did give it to him, and the lead at the end of the day with the penalty, it wasn't that big. It might have been two.
Yeah, I think he won by one or two, but I think that's why they did give it to him, because they're like, why don't we save ourselves the hassle? He's winning anyway. Yeah. Give it to him so that all the idiots online stop yelling and screaming. He's still going to win, so it doesn't ultimately matter. Mm-hmm. That would have been really testy, man. Like, and he didn't know about it. So can
See his face when they asked him after he walked off the 18th green? Whoever interviewed him, I think it was Bia Lois, and she was like, are you aware of the situation with your ball moving? And he looked like Patrick Reed after he had just fluffed in the rough. He was like, oh, I had no idea what you're talking about. I was like, I don't know, Johnny.
Yeah, maybe someone got in his ear and said, hey, they're checking you. The tape is in, you know, and they want to know what happened there on 16. But he chipped that in. That's the amazing thing. Like, could you imagine if he didn't? Like, if you skull that pass and you miss the putt coming back.
Then you're rattled.
Then you've got the penalty. Then you're on 17. I'll bet you he chokes away the tournament. But
it's just funny. I just think it's funny.
It's like, so ridiculous.
A call.
I wish there was a...
Uh-oh.
It's getting better, man. These entrances are so good. Al's brother. Okay, Al's brother, we'll give you a moment to gloat. Your Bengals with the most gutless backdoor cover in history. But you called it. You know, 6-point spread. They only lost by 5. Congratulations.
It did have greasy backdoor cover written all over it, though, didn't it? I was going to text you even before, just when that drive started, I was going to say, this has greasy backdoor written all over it. And I held off because I didn't want to jinx it. And then it happened. Then I texted you pretty promptly, too.
You did. It was a quick, oh, that's a tough one. I'm like, thanks, Al's brother. I'm lying in bed. I'm trying to shut the mill down because I'm steaming because of that backdoor cover. And then Al's brother's like, just so you know, I called that, which he did. And Al's brother's been on fire recently, I will say that.
He has.
Right?
We have 3 games this Sunday. I get 2 of the 3 picks, and you get the middle game and the Monday nighter.
Right. So do you have the 3 games, Al's brother? I know I wanted the grappler to pick for us so that there isn't any funny business here. Can you lay them on the line, the 1, the 4, and the Sunday nighter for us?
Yeah, so the 1 o'clock game, we got the Rams -2 over the Eagles, the Ravens -7 over the Texans, and then the Sunday nighter, Seattle favored 4.5 over New England. So those are the 3 games that we'll be choosing from.
Okay, which one do you like the most? Which one are you circling? Give us your advice on the 1 pick.
I think I'm going to go with the midday game this week. I like Baltimore and Houston, and I'm taking the Ravens on the road -7. I just think that they're better in all 3 phases, offense, defense, specials. Baltimore mopped the floor with this team last year, 41-7, and that was when they had DeAndre Hopkins. Now they do not. So the Ravens just looked just as good last week, if not better, and I think they keep it rolling. I don't see quite the dummying that we saw last year, but I do see the Ravens winning big, so I'll take Baltimore minus 7.
Okay,
do you have your 2 cents on the other two Sunday games?
No, there's no 2 cents.
He can just weigh in with what he thinks on the two games. This guy's not like automatic money.
Well, he's got to do his due diligence.
You just said he's been getting dummied lately.
No, he's been on fire lately is what I said. He's been crushing picks. He picked that one last night. He picked Kansas City opening night. He picked the Cowboys, which was a loser. But he was on the Steelers, I believe.
We'll call it this. We'll call it the sniff around from Al's brother.
Okay, sniff around for the next two games quickly, Al's brother. What do you like in the Sunday night or in the 1 o'clock game you chose?
All right, real quick, I think that I'm going to go with the Rams in the afternoon game.
Right.
I like the Rams minus 2. Your boy Jared Goff, he might have a big one. They just paid both their wide receivers, so I think they're going to try and feed them the ball, and the Eagles secondary is awful, and that defense just fell apart last week, as did Carson Wentz. I'm not sold that they're even going to be in the playoff picture this year, so I'm going to go with the Rams in the afternoon game. And then the Sunday nighter, this one, it's kind of a coin flip, but honestly, I think I'm going to go against Bill Belichick, and I'm going to go with the underrated one, Russell Wilson, and the Seahawks at minus 4.5.
Okay, there you go. All right, that's Sal's brother with a pick and some sniffing around, whatever the hell that means. And
around.
You get to pick your first one, then I'll pick, and then you get to pick the third game. Which one do you like the most?
I'm going to go with Al's brother, and I'm going to take Baltimore, giving 6, I believe.
Giving 8. 8
wow.
On the road at Houston. That's a big number, but Baltimore is that's a good pick. I mean, I can't dispute that. I'm going to take the Seahawks, minus 4.5. I like Seattle a lot.
Okay, and that I'll take the Rams over the Eagles.
Okay,
you're not taking the Pats?
No, I'm not. Not in Seattle. I mean, I believe there will be some fans. I think so. You know, it's tough for Seattle. They're going cross country again, but so is New England. I just think Seattle's a really good team, like really good team. And you know, it's 4.5. It's a big number, but still.
Yeah.
I just got
notification from our top-notch producer. The line moved for the Ravens to 7.
Okay.
So we'll
locking
be
it in at 7?
Locking it in at 7.
Okay. I don't love hearing that. Because Grappler texted earlier that it was Ravens minus 8, but okay, that's fine. All right, so you Grappler's got it all written down. Those are the picks. Thank you to Stone Cold Al's brother. For stepping in, as always.
Stone Cold Al's brother.
We'll get to our best bets by Proline later in the hour. We'll have our picks as well for the Cup Final that begins tomorrow night. And Steve Phillips coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Steve Phillips coming up in just a moment. Got game one of the Western Final in the NBA tonight. LeBron back on the court. The King ready to do some damage. And I think Denver's in tough, but it's tough to – tough to argue against their resilience and their perseverance. You know, they've had a great playoff run, and we'll see what's in store starting tonight.
Some issues with the Boston Celtics yesterday.
Yeah. Really?
Sounds like Marcus Smart and Jalen Brown got into it. And I'm not surprised. You look at Marcus Smart. He's one of those guys that is fiery and gets
volatile
in your face. And
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Well, they pissed away a 17-point lead, wasn't it?
They had both games. That's the thing. I don't think they should feel like they're out of the series. Both games have been final possession games, and they just haven't been able to close. And Miami's good, but let's not pretend like they're, you know, the 72-win Bulls here.
Right.
Like, they are beatable, so we'll see what Boston has in store and if they can get back in the series. Yeah. And the Cup Final, game one tomorrow night, Tampa-Dallas. And, you know, I think Tampa's the better team, but it's difficult to go against Dallas based on the way they've been just chugging along, and they're going to make you play their style. I think they're going to try to make Tampa play an ugly style, which the Islanders did, and Tampa performed well in. But if Sagan just snaps out of it and kind of starts putting on a bit of a show here, that feels like that could be a really game-changing type of performance.
For sure.
Over a seven-game series.
Yeah, you just get anything from him. And, he looks like he's not shooting the puck if he's got some sort of hand or wrist injury or something. He's trying to grind through, but he just doesn't look like we've noticed of Tyler Seguin anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's not been not been explosive, but his team is still there. So ultimately, yeah. that's all that matters. Time now for our TSN MLB Jays analyst to join the fold here and try to break down what the hell just happened over the last three nights. Here's Steve Phillips. 43 runs given up to the Yankees. That Whoa. Is absolutely abysmal. And it's a rude awakening at the very least, Steve, but what could it mean, you know, on the worst end of it, the most extreme reaction to getting blown out like that by the Yankees?
Well, you know, they're losing again today, 7-0 in the first game of the doubleheader, and so they're, you know, that's 50 runs in the last four games, if you want to, you know, start doing the math on it now. And so,
wow.
Listen, they're getting their head beat in a little bit, and you know, this is the nature of young teams, where you know they can have levels of inconsistency, you know, and one of the things I wrote today in my column was, you know, sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And, you know, when the Blue Jays played the Yankees last week in Buffalo, and they had the 10-run inning, and they beat them up 2 out of 3, and they looked like, you know what, this team can actually stand toe-to-toe with the Yankees. You know, it just happened to be the right time to play the Yankees, and this week was the wrong time to play them. And sometimes it's not who you play, it's when you play them, but sometimes it's who you play. And the Yankees, look, they, you know, with their entire lineup back in the mix, they're a scary team with Stanton and Judge and Voit's been unbelievable this year, and LeMahieu. So, and they play; they're all playing at their highest level. The good news is the playoffs don't start tomorrow. There's plenty of time for the Jays to get back on the right track. And I go back to the 2000 season where my club went to the World Series. The Yankees that year lost 16 of their final 21 games and only won 87 in the season, and then got hot in the playoffs and ran the table and won a World Series. And so. You know, it's not the team that is the best that wins in the playoffs. It's the team that plays the best and who's hottest. And it may be that this is the right time to get cold and just start to rally late in the week. But they've got it. This is where Charlie Montoyo and his staff have to get this regrouped. They need to stop the bleeding. They need a stopper. They need Ryu or somebody to put an end to this. And that's what aces do, is they put an end to losing streaks. And they really need somebody to step up right now.
Well, you mentioned they're cold right now. Brian keeps saying, oh, I'm not that concerned they're going to make the playoffs. And that's kind of been a daily theme, him saying that, I'm not that concerned. When do you kind of go, are they letting this slip away here, or are they making the playoffs?
No, they're going to make the playoffs. You know, I'm not that worried about it. I mean, what I think Seattle's behind them with 10 games left to go, and they're 4.5 games behind. You know, Seattle's not playing at a level that they could expect to win 5 out of 10, let alone 6 out of 10 games. So, you know, the Jays are going to be fine. They'll be the 8th seed most likely. You know, but look, the Cleveland Indians just got done losing 8 games themselves and finally got a win and turned it around. So, you know, look, it's a young team. It's not the greatest format for them in the playoffs. They'll regroup. They will win again this year. And if they don't, it'll be catastrophic. And, you know, you'll have me on again next week and we'll be, you know, speaking of the demise of the Blue Jays, but they'll get back on track again. But this is a year early for them. You know, they're not one of the big boys just yet. And I think that, you know, it felt pretty good when they were ahead of the Yankees, but the Yankees got themselves back on track again right now. So don't panic, but also we can't be overly optimistic. And I think it's brought us a little bit back down to earth with this club.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst, when it comes to Vladdy Guerrero Jr., we were talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he's collectively played 162 games. In fact, I don't think he has yet. And he's still young. But we have discussed a lot about him. There was so much hype. He really underperformed last year based on the hype. This year, I'd say he's doubling down on that same disappointment. Take this for what it's worth. Limited games, limited sample size, but I brought this up earlier. He is a 0 wins above replacement right now. 0. And he is supposed to be, you know, the poster boy. He is supposed to be a guy who changes the look of the order and maybe changes the whole scope of a game. And he's just not bringing anything to the table, Steve. Like,
no.
When does he snap out of it? And what's the problem?
Well, I mean, you know, I look, you're 100% right. And anything I'll do right now will make an excuse for him. And you know, he taught us to expect really big things from him. We didn't make it up on our own. Mm-hmm. He taught us to believe these things by the way he performed and ran through the minor leagues. But one of the things that when he went through the minor leagues that he never did is he never struggled. He was hitting 400 in Double A, and you know, he's never struggling. And what's dangerous is when guys get to the big leagues and they never struggled in the minor leagues, they don't really know what to do. And every once in a while, I see a look on his face like he feels it slipping away from him too, that it just feels a little too fast and it just doesn't feel right. And so, I keep saying to myself, he's 21 years old. For a 21-year-old, you know, he's doing pretty well for himself. Now, that being said, we've seen other 21-year-olds and Soto and Acuna Jr. and these guys and Lindor back in the day, these guys who just, you know, were superstars right out of the gate, and we have an expectation for him. So there's a lot there with him. I think some of it's physical, some of it's mental, some of it's emotional. I think it is, there are with many players. I'm not giving up hope that he can be an all-star caliber player, but, you know, we knew that his wins above replacement would always be challenged because of his defense, that there was going to be a drag on that to a degree. But his offensive production, you know, we all expected would be better than this. I mean, we're talking about a guy that hit in the 360s and had a 440 on base percentage. We're not seeing it right now. In his career, he's played 172 games so far. You go to this Baseball Reference website, they say, okay, well, if they do your calculation on 162 game average, what are his numbers? And at 21, his numbers are 34 doubles, 3 triples, 21 home runs, a 264 average, a 333 on base, 765 OPS, 88 RBIs, and 73 runs scored. That's a good player, but it's not what we thought he would be. And so I think he'll still bounce back. I think he'll get on track. But I don't think he's going to be necessarily his dad. And that's okay. He can still be really good. We just need to sort of change the way we're looking at him so we don't look at him with disappointing eyes.
I think no matter what, Steve, agree or disagree, if he continues to sputter, the focus is going to go one place and one place only, and that's his weight.
Yeah.
If he's going yard every day, nobody says boo about his weight. But if he sputters, it's just, I've been in that situation. You struggle scoring goals. Coach is like, well, get on the scale for me, would you? I want to see what's going on there. And yeah. You're scoring goals. Nobody says a word. No one, nothing whatsoever. And he's putting the focus on that.
Yeah. Listen, if you guys don't have a good show today, get Hayes on a scale after the show, will you?
I will. Don't even worry about me, Steve.
So, listen, you're 100% right. If he looked like he did in spring training 1.0, it probably wouldn't be so bad. But he came back really out of shape. It's one of the reasons why they moved him off third base, is that he doesn't look healthy. Let's put it this way. Look, and it's not shaming. It's every player has his premium weight, the appropriate weight at which they're supposed to play. And I've seen players who have gone home in the offseason, lost weight, and they were lesser players because of it. And so they needed to put that weight back on. So it's not about being skinny. It's about what is your appropriate weight. I look at Luke Voit for the Yankees right now. He changed his body, and he's still a thick guy, but he's getting premium performance this year. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got 20 home runs already. He had 21 last year in 130 games. And so I think he does need to address it. It's a tricky one, right? It's a really sensitive one to do it the right way, to not shame somebody over it. But I think that there's got to be some way to address it, because it doesn't seem like to me he's playing at the appropriate weight level.
Well, we'll see where we're at through the weekend. Again, it's not going so well early here for the Jays in Philly. They got a nightcap tonight and then play into the weekend, but still comfortably into that playoff spot. You know, you and I were still holding on to that. And ultimately, if they make it, that's a positive. I mean, no one came into this season, shortened or otherwise, thinking that this was a World Series caliber team. They make it in, that's invaluable experience. And you go through your ups and downs, it's going to happen. And hopefully they continue to grow. You know, I'm sure that's how the organization is feeling right now.
Yeah, I think if they could just win a game again, just to know that they're going to win a game again and it's not going to be these blowouts, it will make a big difference for them. And they will. They'll get back on track, and maybe it'll be game two tonight.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Okay, thank you, Steve.
All right, jump on the scale. See you guys.
Yes, that's the plan right after the show. We need it going into a big weekend, to a big sports weekend.
Yeah, you'll be couching.
Yeah, this is a feedback type of weekend. This is where we strap it on and yeah.
Well, I apologize. Did I have like a brain meltdown before?
Well,
I thought Steve was there.
I think you wanted us to get to Steve, and I was like, yeah, I kind of threw it back to you, and you were not there. So I was like, all right, he's gone.
I thought you said Tyler Sagan's got like a hand injury. I was like, yep. I don't know.
No, I was like, you said this before. I don't know. Mulz, do you have it? He looks like he's not shooting the puck if he's got some sort of hand or wrist injury or something. He's trying to grind through, but he just doesn't look like we've noticed of Tyler Sagan anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's just a strong take, a counter take.
Yeah, it was like, uh-huh. And you were.
I thought
it went silent, and then Hayes goes, all right, I guess we're going to go to Steve Phillips.
Yeah.
Well, that's total you guys. We have a guest on, and you guys want to start a whole new conversation.
Yeah, that's what I picked up on the P's and Q's. I thought that's what you were kind of doing. So that's right. Why I'm just like, all right, Steve's here. But I think you can finish a thought. It can be a 10-second
counter.
No,
but your two signature move is the guest on the line. You want to bring up a whole new topic, and you babble back and forth, the guest is there, but
we
not for you guys.
You guys are on your own program. Finishing our hockey talk, we were shifting over. Like, you know, it's a natural transition, and Steve joins in on a lot of that.
I bet you's got a take on Sagan. I bet you he could tell you something. I think he's from the Boston area. I think Steve grew up in New England, and so he probably is familiar with Sagan from his Bruin days. And yeah, I mean, finishing a thought is different than completely new topic that we're going to break down while
that
the guests
is
are
right
there
in
waiting.
Your wheelhouse too.
I've done it countless times, and I will continue to do it.
It's so ignorant.
It's not ignorant.
There's a guy on the line. Do you think Peter King wants to hear your nonsense about the Maple Leafs or whatever? They don't.
That's fine. That's Peter fine. King, but sitting there waiting for 30 seconds. You do TV all the time.
Dude,
sometimes
you're not 30 seconds though. You do 2 or 3 minutes and you keep going. That's not true.
But if you show up for TV, if you do a TV in studio thing, they will ask you to be there like 45 minutes before. Do they just stop the show and say, "Oh, O's here, so I guess we have to get to him"? No, sitting on hold for 30 seconds is not the end of the world. It comes with the gig. I mean, I do radio hits. And sometimes they'll call me halfway through the break, and they're like, "We're up in 2 minutes." I'm like, "Okay, I get it. Like, I understand." I don't say, "Stop playing that commercial. I'm on hold. How dare you?" You know, like, no, it happens. That's radio.
I've got a routine now with the hits that I do through the week is I say, just call me a minute before I'm on. That way I'm not, you know, sitting there through the break and that. But a lot of times the host will have his own thoughts and be teeing up the segment before he gets to me. So it's sometimes 3 or 4 minutes before I'll get to, the host. It happens.
Hayes says he'll dig through the tape. Maybe I'll do my own digging too.
Yeah, please do. Dig away all weekend. Tiger's in. Tiger birdied 18.
To get to 11.
Where did he finish up? I think he finished up at, man, I can't even find him. I'm still going down. Yeah, he must have been 10 under maybe. I don't know. He missed the cut. It doesn't matter.
Give me a dime. You'll be fine, Tiger.
Yeah, and Morikawa missed a big putt on 18 to go 7 over. It looks like he'll miss the cut as well.
Didn't I pick him?
You did pick Morikawa, and I picked Tiger, so we're going to saw it off 80-80 Saturday.
No, we probably
Sunday.
Both. We picked 5 guys each. We probably have multiple people missing the cut.
No, I think we only have 2. We actually had great picks. Like, you have Reed. You've got Rory. You had Berger. You had DJ. Like, the 4 of them are all in the top 20. And I had
Rory. I thought Rory was chopping it today.
No, he. I think he got it back on the rails for you. I thought I saw that. I'm looking for him here, but we'll come back and we'll reset and we'll let you know where he ended up. But I'm fairly certain he's going to make the weekend for sure. So we'll look ahead to the weekend for the U.S. Open. We'll look ahead to Game 1 tomorrow night, Cup Final. Get to our best bets as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL point spread this weekend, I like Kansas City big at the Chargers. I think Kansas City is just going to continue to blow out teams. They've had a long week. They haven't played in 10 days. I like Kansas City big. No fans in L.A. either, so there's no home field advantage. It's a big spread, but I like Kansas City. I like Dallas. I think they will get back on the winning side of things, and it's not a massive spread. And I like Chicago at home against the Giants. I mean, these aren't great teams, but they're not playing great teams. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter. At TSN 1050 Radio, ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line.
You know what you just did, right?
What did I do?
You just put your money in the hands of Trubisky.
Hey, Trubisky. Did you see that throw he made late to win that game
care,
at Detroit?
Dude. You know what's coming up. You know it.
Yeah, I don't love him, but, man, did you see Daniel Jones? Did you see the Giants? I mean, they're terrible. The New York teams are brutal, and I don't like New York. So
man,
it's not a
being
massive
a Jets
threat.
Fan watching that, like, yeah. Is that Gase? Like, did I know he had that presser when he was first announced, and he was like, he was all jacked up or something, and he was just staring at bugs or like, does he know
yeah,
what
he had
he's
the weird
doing?
Eyes and stuff. I don't know what his deal is.
Does that guy know what he's doing?
Well, his history would suggest that he doesn't. I mean, he was an absolute tire fire in Miami, and now he's just as bad in New York. Like this,
it's just crazy.
This will be the end of the year. This will be the end of the road. The problem is in New York is Sam Darnold hasn't taken a big step, and like it's a quarterback league, you know. And if you take a guy like Darnold third overall, Baker went first, Darnold went third. Neither of them have really taken a big step. And Sam, like Rosen, can't even play anywhere. He's on the practice squad. And who's the other guy? Josh Allen. Actually, right now, Allen and Lamar Jackson. Like, Jackson clearly the best quarterback in that draft. But Josh Allen's clearly number two.
And where did Jackson go?
He went 32nd in the first round. I think he was the last pick. Didn't Baltimore trade back into the round to take him with the last pick of the first round?
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's a great organization. Like, Baltimore, they're always doing that kind of stuff. So what do we predict for the weekend? What are we thinking here? U.S. Open, over par, Dallas, Tampa tomorrow night. Jays finally win a game.
I say Jays continue to stink. DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open.
And Dallas whatever. Or Tampa?
Tampa wins?
I'm just, my brain is
fumes.
I'm on fumes.
Yeah, we are just roadside limping. Assistants on the side of the
I'm
board.
I'm calling CAA for my brain right now.
I need a tow for my brain. For
I
my
need
cranium.
Someone to tow my brain back into my cranium.
Yeah, I'm on Tampa. I think Tampa's going to win the Cup.
I think they get it back together, man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a long series. I think Dallas will get some. But I'm on Tampa, I think Shoffley's going to win the U.S. Open, and the Jays will win at least one game. Go ahead.
Madness. That's it. End like, it. Just it. End it.
Okay, we're out of here. I don't know if we'll be back on Monday. We'll see.
Don't even want to be back.
Enjoy your weekends. We'll be back potentially Monday at
4 p.m.
And we'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.